Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. Now, all children are smart in their own way. Some children, however, have individual learning styles that don't allow them to succeed with traditional learning methods. But different doesn't have to be negative for children with learning differences. And today's program is all about how to best help children with learning differences succeed. My guest today is Dr. Deborah Ross Swain. She is a licensed speech language pathologist and CEO of the Swain Center for Listening, Communicating, and Learning. She has written many textbooks and training materials and travels the world presenting to professional organizations. She also is the co-author of a new book called Confidence and Joy, Success Strategies for Kids with Learning Differences. And to learn more about the book and Dr. Ross Swain, you can go to confidencejoy.com. So welcome to the program, Dr. Ross Swain. So nice to have you with us today.
Thank you so much. I'm very happy to be part of your show.
Oh, thank you. Now, tell us a little bit first about yourself. You're a speech language pathologist. So what types of clients do you see and where are you located in the United States?
Okay. I am in Northern California, just a little bit north of San Francisco. And I've had a practice here for over 30 years. And the majority of the kids that we see in my practice, I have a pretty large practice. I have about 20 staff that form a wonderful team that makes a difference in children's lives every day. But we focus mostly on early intervention and then children with learning differences. And so the children that we work with who have learning differences don't necessarily receive services through an IEP or a 504 plan. These are children that just have enough learning difference that they struggle to learn. And they can, most of them have average, above average IQs, but they just struggle in school. And those day-to-day struggles erode their confidence for learning and their joy for learning.
And so tell us then, Deb, what's the difference between a learning difference then, as you're just describing it, and a learning disability?
It really depends on who is involved in the process. Learning difference just means that there's a different way of learning. So, for example, I bet many of your listeners are familiar with terms like, well, I'm an auditory learner, or I'm a visual learner, or I'm a tactile kinesthetic learner. That's very true. I mean, people can be one of those. People can be a combination of those. But traditional teaching methods where it doesn't integrate that multi-sensory learning makes a child be learning different. Now, in traditional telescopes or microscopes or whatever you want to use there, they'll say, oh, it's a disability because they are disabled to learn a certain way. But that's not true. If you get the right way of instruction, then all children can learn.
So give us an example, even, let's say, you know, there's a listener out there and they have a child who's going to school, elementary school. How would I know then as a parent whether my child had that learning difference or couldn't or is struggling with learning in the traditional sense?
So let's just take a first grader, for example, and they're really getting bombarded now with written language, with reading and with spelling. And so there's plenty of normative data that that demonstrate, tell us what a child should be able to do. It's the child that falls behind, that is not able to kind of keep up with those expectations despite their very best efforts, mm-hmm. or they're trying hard enough. And so they just can't master it. Every day they come in and they do the same thing without making any progress. That would be a child that needs to be looked at a little bit more closely for a learning difference. How best to tap into their intellect, their natural talents, their desire to learn? Because if you think about a preschooler, they love to learn. They go to school and they're engaged, they're curious, they're inquiring, they come home and they share what they've learned. But then when it comes to written language, to reading and spelling, that's where it will surface. And that's when we have to step in for that early intervention rather than letting it be drawn out over time.
That's so interesting. And I know that you say in your book that it's critical for parents to recognize these learning differences early. And that's really important in terms of what happens long term. So one of the things I think you mentioned just now, Deb, is that we have to tune into our children and see that they're motivated and still excited about what's going on at school. And if not, that may be one sign. Did I understand that correctly?
Sure. Yes, absolutely. So what happens often with the learning different child is they go to school day after day doing the same thing day after day and not making any progress. That can result in feeling defeated and not having any confidence in the learning process as they look around and they see their classmates moving along, but they're still stuck back there and not moving along. So when parents see that, then it's really important that they get together with their educational team to work collaboratively to figure out how they can help their child succeed. Because the reality is you can't see learning in your head. Now, if a child has a physical disability, you can see that they may need walking assistance or even a wheelchair and so forth. So you know that that is a disability. You can see it, but you can't see learning. You only see behaviors associated with learning. So if a child is struggling, what you might see is they might be a little daydreamy because they just can't stay engaged with what they don't understand. You might see them what appears to be not listening or not completing assignments, not working fast enough, needing instructions repeated over and over again. So to some, that looks like they're not trying hard or they're not paying attention, when in fact, there's something really deep down that is causing those types of behaviors to be observed.
And I like those examples that you gave because they're very concrete, as you said, because they're behavioral. I like also that you said, and it was like a light bulb went off in my head, that you can't actually see that there's a learning difference. You can only see the outcomes of those differences. And so you said daydreaming, not listening, needing to have instructions again and again, not motivated, not excited. Any other things that is for parents that are listening that we can really watch and observe in our kids?
Yes. So other symptoms can be super homework hassles. Having to sit down and a child just falls apart. I can't do it. I don't want to do it. I'm stupid. I don't get it. And parents have to be with them and they go through this every single day. Homework hassles are huge. Another one is a child saying, I can't go to school, I don't feel good, my stomach hurts, my head hurts. Just actual anxiety around going to school. And those kind of like approach avoidance behaviors, just I can't do it, I won't do it. They can have social issues, nobody likes me, I never get picked, I'm not fun, I don't have any friends. Those are all huge red flags for to call to action on the part of parents and teachers, not just the parents. It's just so important that we form like a team Jesse or a team Matthew or a team Ella to help these children know that they can be successful, and they so that they don't lose their confidence in learning and they don't lose their joy in learning. I say a child needs more vitamin S to make sure that they are feeling competent and confident, no matter
what
how
is vitamin
we do
S,
it.
By the way?
Success, more vitamin
oh,
S.
Oh, success. I love it. So you could have said vitamin C, confidence, or vitamin J, joy, too.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
That is great. Okay, so now I'm a parent and I'm noticing these behaviors. How do I make Team Ella, Team Jess, Team John? Who do I reach out to when I'm noticing these behaviors, Deb?
So a parent has to be really, really strategic and intentional and observe their child. They know their child better than anyone. They know what makes them tick, what makes them happy, what makes them feel good. So the first point of contact would be the child's teacher, to have a heart-to-heart. This is what's happening at home. This is what I see. What do you see? And combine their observations. So here's one of the challenges is sometimes children who have learning differences put a tremendous amount of energy and effort into kind of holding it together in the classroom so that they don't look different to their peers. And then when they get home, they just fall apart because they've been wound so tightly during the day. So it's not unusual for a teacher to go, oh, I don't see any of that in the classroom. So the parent and the teacher have to form the first part of this team so that their observations are collaborative and they're action-oriented. So the teacher first, and then you can bring in maybe another member of the educational team. It could be like the speech-language pathologist to do an assessment of language skills, of processing skills, the psychologist, the resource specialist or a reading specialist, all of those working together, even a physician sometimes needs to come in. If a child has a history of chronic ear infections, they could be at risk for having learning-related issues. So you want to maybe get the medical piece too. But it's figuring out together how this child best learns and then providing the education that way rather than just one way that, and the old way, the traditional way, that's almost guaranteed to make sure that the child doesn't succeed because it's not working.
Right. And it's
if it worked, it already would be working.
And as you said, it's one way rather than multiple ways or different ways. Now, you know, I'm a professor at a university in Michigan, Oakland University. And so I'm a huge advocate of teaching and teaching philosophies and trying to get teachers involved in the team approach. But let's say I'm a parent and I go to the teacher and the teacher says exactly what you said, Deb, that he or she may say, you know, I don't see that, parent. Are you seeing in your practice that teachers are positive, are working with parents, are supportive of these kinds of gestures that parents are making when they see different learning styles or different behaviors in their children?
I see that it depends on the district and the school and the teacher. So what happens is, at times, there an adversarial relationship develops. And so what I advocate for is that we set those that aside because it can't be a win-lose between a parent and a teacher, because what happens then is the child loses. The child's the loser here. So it's I assist parents in going to bat for their kids in a positive, supportive way, so that it facilitates a warm, respectful, collaborative relationship so that the child can feel success. And if the child feels success, then they're going to feel a sense of confidence in learning. If they fail repeatedly, they lose their confidence. And when they lose their confidence, they lose their joy. So it's offering success strategies for them.
Mm-hmm. So what would I say to a teacher? Can you give us even an example of what I would say that would be positive, non-defensive, collaborative, as you said?
Sure. So let's say, Ms. Jones, my son Jesse is really struggling. Where when we come home from school, he melts down. He struggles so hard to stay afloat with his reading and his spelling. So what can we do? I need your help here. How can we break it down so that he doesn't feel so overwhelmed and defeated? And teacher says, well, he does well in class. Mom says, I know, it's because he really tries hard. But when he gets home, he falls apart. And it's causing a big problem with our other children. And he doesn't even want to go out and play with his friends. So how can we work together? And then the teacher said, well, do you have an idea? And Mom says, yes. What if we reduce his spelling list from 20 to 12 words? What if he has a little extra time in the classroom on projects? What if he has a peer partner who he can bounce ideas off of? What if I can get the homework ahead of time so that we can do a little pre-learning, if you will? So those are just a few suggestions.
And I love that example, Deb. Thank you so much. It's very concrete. It gives people practical ways to approach teachers. So let's turn a little bit now to how parents and professionals like teachers can best provide opportunities for instilling that confidence, that joy, that success in a child that you're talking about.
So when we look at a classroom of children, we know that there's going to be some children and who have learning differences. So it's being alert to when a child starts to just struggle a little bit and then identify what they are good at. So we know that all children have a natural gift or talent at something. Some are athletic. Some are skilled in music, some in art, some in drama, some with relationships with others. We have to figure out what they're good at so that they can feel enough success in those areas to offset the struggle that they feel with the core subjects of reading, spelling, and math. And to lift these children up and build them up the same way that children are recognized for their academic achievement. Because we're not all math people, right? And we're not all writers, but we have to learn those core subjects. But when you think about what the brain is doing for, say, an athletic event, if you've got someone who, a child that's just learning to play golf, what they have to do to hit a ball and drive a ball and what goes on in their brain, it's as hard and as effective as what goes on when you're doing a math problem. Or if some little guy is really skilled with Legos, I have seen some phenomenal constructions by 6 and 7 year olds that these children will probably be our future engineers, but they struggle to read and spell. So we've got to figure out how we can lift them up so that their success in what they're good at feels as powerful as the other kid's success, but you balance out the struggle with the success, if that makes any sense, what I just
said.
Yes,
it makes complete sense to, uncover and praise as a parent your child's strengths. So find out what your child is good at and then praise them. And would I do that through words only? Like when my child comes home, praise them, compliment them? Or am I doing it also through rewards, like, the child who does well on a spelling test or a math test?
Well, you do a combination. When children hit a certain age and parents are the primary source of their reinforcement or their praise, sometimes they don't quite believe it because, you're my mom and you're supposed mm-hmm. to say that kind of thing. But the very best ways are for parents to kind of put on their detective hat and see what their child is super good at, and then provide opportunities for the children to get out into the community and expose them to new opportunities, to new learning environments where they can generalize that, because then it's new people, it's new peers. And then they are going to kind of feel that confidence in learning in different environments.
And get that validation from other people rather than me, mom, or me, dad, or me, grandparent, even. I like that.
Absolutely.
So get them out in the community and have them do or experience others who will give that same praise to them.
Yeah. So I've got this, we want to work to create success the BRIGHT way. And BRIGHT is an acronym for B is build confidence and joy in your children by recognizing that it's a full-time endeavor for parents. And so building confidence and joy is going to be the primary goal. And then the R is recognize that your child may be having a learning difference and be okay with it, because mm-hmm. that child is going to be a successful learner once you figure out how they learn. The I is to identify key educators and professionals who can work to build confidence, joy, and success in a child. The G is get your child involved in activities, as I just mentioned. The H is to honor and share your child's natural gifts with others. And then the T is to teach others about learning differences. So when you build success the BRIGHT way, then everybody's working to build teams and to build community, and the child will just not even skip a beat, because it's up to us as parents and professionals to get our children from little people to big people with joy and confidence in their hearts.
Absolutely. Happy, successful people. And I can see this being so important, as you say, early on, but also even as children, our children are older, whether they be in high school or college or beyond. I can see these same BRIGHT strategies working as our children age and are older as well. Now, we only have a few minutes left, Deb. Tell us what motivated you to write your new book, Confidence and Joy, and a little bit about the book.
So it's really a culmination of my career, and it's over 30 years doing this and seeing these children that come in and they're just kind of beaten up. They're educationally and learning defeated because nobody ever really recognized their learning differences. And so they just have no confidence and have no joy. And so I've been talking about this for a long time. And I said, okay, Deb, let's not talk about it. Let's do something about it. So that's why I came, I put it on paper. I just felt that it was a message for parents and professionals.
So it's for parents and professionals. So teachers, psychologists, MDs, resource specialists.
Yep.
It's for professionals and parents.
Yes, it is. Yep.
And are there case studies in there as well?
Yes. Every chapter has a case study.
Wow. Excellent. And where can listeners purchase your book? On your website?
It's actually on Amazon, and it's just a Google Confidence and Joy book, and it will come pop right up.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Raswain, or Deb, as I've been calling you. I really enjoy talking to you, and it's really such important information that you've shared with us about for parents and professionals out there. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for having me as a guest. I love talking about this. So.
Absolutely. I can tell. I love your passion, your motivation, but also it's vital to give the information to parents. And I really appreciate the distinction between learning differences and learning disabilities. And again, listeners, if you want more information about Dr. Ross Swain and her new book called Confidence and Joy, Success Strategy for Kids with Learning Differences, go to the website confidencejoy.com. As always, thank you for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here always to help your relationships, including the one with yourself, to be the best they can be. My personal website is Dr. Terry, thelovedoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based relationship advice that's easy to understand and include in your life. So listeners, until next time, here's to your healthy, happy relationships.